You know, last week we started a series, and this is a part two, on the power and the purpose of giving sacrifice. And the more and more I study this, it's starting to explain things. I remember I had a bit of an issue with Jesus. Anybody? Okay. I had this issue with Jesus about this one fact. I mean, probably about a lot of things, but this one in fact, that Jesus gets his disciples and he goes, what are we going to do? We're going to watch people give. Now, think about this. I mean, this is Jesus. He gets all of his disciples around him and he says, what are we going to do? I want to watch people give, right? And so what you have is you've got very wealthy people bringing bags of money in, and then there's this widow. She empties her life savings out and she's going to give it away. My first thinking was, Jesus, why aren't you intervening? Now, okay, you're kind of, she's a widow, that means she's alone. She empties her house and she's going to give it. If I was with Jesus, I'm yelling at him, stop the woman. We don't need it. So you start thinking, yes, this is poor widow. She's going to give her life savings in one go, and Jesus is letting her. I would have come up and said, hey, listen, look, you need this more than I do. But Jesus is going, I am letting her, because when you understand the power and the purpose of sacrifice, she is an amazing, awesome woman, because something is going to happen in her life that is not going to happen to the person that didn't give it all. So what was happening is, when you understand the power and the purpose of giving sacrifice, it changes everything. Now, remember, last week, I'll just recap on some of these things. Now, watch. In Hebrews 13:5, is this. For he himself, God, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake or let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Now, Revelation 13:8 says this, that Christ is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So when you start thinking about sacrifice, you need to ask yourself this question: who is sacrifice for? Is it for God to draw close to us, or is it us drawing close to God? So when we start to think, the Bible says this way, right? I will not leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never let go of my hold on you. So God says the stability in life is, I never leave. So whatever situation you are, if you are feeling alone, if you are feeling God is far away, it's not God. When people come up with, why has God left me? You know what's amazing? It's the story of Job. One of the things I love about Job is because he thinks like all of us. He has all of these questions about God. God, why is this? God, how come that's happening? God, and then God comes up to into his space and he says, ask me a question. And all of a sudden he goes, man, all of my questions are wrong. See, if you ask the wrong question, you get the wrong answer. So one of the things that we learned from last week was this. The Hebrew word for sacrifice is korban, which means coming closer. It derives this from the word kevev, which means to draw near. The purpose of sacrifice is to gain intimacy with God by bringing him a cherished gift. See, sacrifice is not this, is that God's saying, Ted, I want something valuable from you, because if you give me something valuable, that proves that you love me. So the religious mindset says this, is when I give a gift to God, God draws near to me. So it is an attractional gift. So that means that I give so that I can pull him closer. That's called manipulation. Okay, one of the things we learned from last week, if any time in any relationships you feel in debt, you have got serious problems. We're talking about marriage week. If there is any debt in marriage, it's not a relationship anymore. It becomes earning. So if Sylvie feels indebted to me, I haven't got a relationship. I have an employment agreement. Dear Sylvie, I have implored you to have kids, look after the home, cook and clean. That's a pretty good deal, eh? You should read the fine print. See, it's never an agreement. So understand something about sacrifice. God never asked you to come close to him. He's always come close to you. So that means, I know we use the word draw near. So when it comes to this, it is coming closer. So therefore, the word of God says this: if I don't feel, I am always close to whom I am giving. How do you get close to this church? You give. How do I get close to you? I give. Wherever you feel closest to is your giving to. Some people feel close to their cars because they give to them. I give a lot, but not too much. See, it is in the giving. So what happens is this: when I sacrifice, when I give, I become closer. So when you feel far away from God, give. If you feel far away from a person, you give. Here's the interesting, you'll find this in any relationship. The last thing that comes into a relationship is giving, and the first thing when a relationship breaks is you lose giving. So when you go into a relationship, you know when you have got a gelling is because you start giving. Before giving, it's information finding. So I go into a relationship, do I like you? Do I like this? Do I look? It happens in church, okay? You talk to any pastor. The last thing that a person does when he joins the church is to give. And the first thing that he stops before he leaves is giving. In any relationship, now that's a church relationship, but it's in any other relationship. The first, when I decided that Sulvo was it, when I prayed this prayer, God, I pray for this woman that if she looks at any other guy, he will look the ugliest thing in the world. And I bags her, right? From that moment on, I started giving. Yeah. Oh, honey, I'll pay for the food. You see, it's an act of giving. And because I constantly give, I am constantly close. If I were to break relationship, the first thing I would break is I'm no longer going to give. So in the Word of God says this, God says, I have come close to you. So if any time you feel that I am far away from you, you have just stepped out of reality. See, sacrifice illuminates your reality. When I like today, when you worship God, they go, wow, God is here. Yeah, he was always there. You know, so what happens is this, is when you sacrifice, you get a reality check of being real. Think about this. Abraham encouraged his faith by thanksgiving. So you look at Abraham, he looks at his situation. Oh man, I'm old. My love of my life is old. We cannot reproduce kids. Then he starts to give sacrifices to God. And then all of a sudden he gets a reality check. See, without sacrifice, there is no reality. And sacrifice doesn't mean it hurts. People go, give until it hurts. No, give until you're healed. See, we've made sacrifice so religious is that, oh, this is going to hurt me. This is going to hurt me. This is going to hurt me. But God says this, when I sacrifice, I am coming closer. So another word it works like this, is the only thing that ever shifts is your emotions. So what happens is this, is God loves you, God is for you, God's never against you, but if I am feeling estranged, that means my emotions have started to skew me away. And when I give, everything in my system comes into divine alignment, and I go, wow, God is for me. This is what it's like. This is what it's like. See, when you start to give unto God, you get the reality of God, and when you get the reality of God, everything changes. So now you understand in any relationship where there is no sacrifice. Go back to what we all understand each other. I'm feeling far away from Sylvie. In other words, I've stopped sacrificing. I'm feeling far away from my employer. I've stopped sacrificing. I'm feeling far away from family. I've stopped sacrificing. Because what happens? Sacrifice means drawing near. So God says, I don't leave you. See, I can feel like, oh, gee, Sylvie's so far away from me. She made a commitment over 30 years ago. How many? Has anybody got a spare room? If you have a spare room, come and see me. I don't have breakfast. I drink a lot of coffee in the morning. I'm really easy. Okay, 34 years ago, she made a commitment. So what happens is this, is when I sacrifice to her, and we learn what it means, is that all of a sudden I get the reality of the commitment. So in any relationship, see, when I was working for my employer, I would sacrifice to him. He didn't even know me. I was close to him, but he wasn't close to me. But it made me closer to the company, and so I can actually represent the company better. Are you okay? So I didn't know the head of the board. But I would be sacrificing to the company. And as I am sacrificing, I get into the culture of the company. When I get into the culture of the company, I can increase. So I'm feeling close to them, but they're not close to me. Because I'm not sacrificing to draw them. I am sacrificing so I can draw near. So what we have here, now watch this. Psalm 116, verse 11. Now I'll worship you passionately and bring you my sacrifice of praise, drenched with thanksgiving. I mean, you know, that's not a negative. See, every time, I used to think sacrifice, oh no. Sacrifice used to be coming to church. Sacrifice was mowing the lawns. That's still a sacrifice. But God, he's a psalmist and he's really excited. And he goes, I'll worship you passionately and bring you my sacrifice of praise, drenched with thanksgiving. Let me give you another verse. Let my prayer be as the evening sacrifice. So watch this. Let's just break this down. When you pray, you draw closer to God. When you see, what we think is, I am praying, I am pulling God towards me. You know, it's like a tug of war. But God says, I invite you to pray. The reason when you pray, you start to feel close to me. See, God's never far away, but your feelings are. And when we live by feelings, we go, that's far away, that's far away. So God says, I want you to give me a sacrifice of prayer. In your prayer, you draw near to me. And when you draw near to me, you can touch me. You can get the reality of heaven and bring it down to earth. Because that burns like a fragrant incense. Okay, watch this. It burns. When you start something alight, sometimes when it comes to prayer, we think the moment we stop, the prayer stops. Okay. What happens when you light a candle? Keeps burning, right? How many of you know when you light a candle, you don't have to keep the match on it? And this is what God says about prayer. This is when you understand prayer, is I get in the presence of God, I light a candle. And not only does God goes, wow. And there's the fragrance. That means my emotions, everything else is coming into alignment with God. I am feeling close to God. I am feeling nurtured by God. Rising up as an offering to you as I lift my hands in surrendered worship. Did you know? Clapping. God gets, you get closer to God. Lifting up your hands, you get closer to God. By lighting a candle of prayer, coming up and praying. See, we one of the things that some religions do well, they still go to church and light candles. Right? But that's figurative. They need this download. You don't need to light a practical candle in a church. What you do is that when you pray, you become a fragrance to God. Wow. So he goes, and I lift my hands. So the Bible says this is all a sacrifice. All of this that you do is you are drawing near. You are drawing near. You are drawing near. You are drawing near. So God is encouraging you. Every time you're feeling, man, I feel alone, I'm going to give you worship. I'm going to give you prayer. I am going to lift up my hands. I'm going to just get into your presence. And then the reality comes in. God has never left you. How many of you, look, I used to have these silly thoughts like, God, why did you leave me alone? God, why do I feel alone? And always in my mind, it was like I'm trying to draw God to me. I'm going, God's over there, and I'm just trying to draw him to me. And then never realizing is that God's never left me. But because I turn my eyes on my situations, I turn my eyes on my problems, I feel away from God. See, when you look and stare into your situation, you feel that God has moved. But when you give a sacrifice, things happen. Now, let's talk about giving. We're going to take up another offering right now. I'm feeling like an American evangelist. Give until it hurts. I don't want to hear jingling, I want to hear folding. It says giving sacrifice. So there's two elements to this. One is what I'm bringing, but God says, I want you to give it. So what God said, put it this way, a sacrifice is given. It is not manipulated. Once it's manipulated, it's no longer a sacrifice, it's a debt. So we are not into debt. We are not into debt. Now, so the Bible says, I want you to give me something. I don't want to extract it from you. Have you ever, I remember, you know, like I used to count the offering. And that was when we used to use a lot of cash. And I found people, some of the months, the queen was crushed. It was as if somebody was holding on to it. And then the ushers came up. 10-ton usher came up with a big stick. Hit. Ah! Now, outside of the kingdom, it's I give to get. Outside of the kingdom, that's how it works. It's an exchange. I will give you this so that I can have that. I will work so much, and you will repay me so much. So it is, what do I want? How much do I have to give? Correct? When you go in a safe way, it's not kingdom. Going to you know, buying a new car, it's not kingdom. Why? They love you. But they go, you have to give so that you can get. Going to a beautiful display home. I go, isn't this, wouldn't you want to live here? Yeah. Look at this other, yeah. Do you want it? Yeah. Give me something. Right? It is in life. Life is, outside of the kingdom, is there's something I want, there is a price tag. We've even brought it into the church. I prayed the price. So you walked into the spiritual Safeway and you go, whoa, healing. Okay, that's half an hour per day over 6 months with fasting in between. And when you've done that consistently, you can get it. But then you know, because if you have that mentality and then you go, I want something, but what's the cost? God will say, you know, religion says, okay, we've removed the cost, but we won't tell you how much you've got to pray until you get it. It's called frustration. So outside of the kingdom, it's I want this. This is what I have to give. Look, even in church circles, there has been a teaching, if you want $100,000 a year income, start to give 10. It's called, I am a mathematician. Now, if God tells you to do that, that's different. But it's not mathematics. So when it comes to giving, it's the same thing as we've taken sacrifice from outside of the kingdom where it's going to hurt you, it's going to cost you. There's some, you know, God wants something valuable from me so he can show me, so I can show him how he loves me. We've brought it into the kingdom, and sacrifice means to draw near, correct? Now let's take giving into the kingdom. Now watch this. The Hebrew word for giving is natan, which is spelled N-U-N. Now watch this. When you have the word N-U-N, if you flip it around the other way, what does it spell? Okay, flip it back. What does it spell? Ooh, gee, wow, I am an English professor. Now think about this. It's the same word. This word reads the same backwards or forward. Now, thus the Hebrew word for giving suggests the essence of what is given is all about. When we give, we always receive. Now, let's do some history for you. In Mesopotamia, Iraq, Iran, where they use a similar language to this, you know what was always believed? The root word to give is receive. So in other words, the word give started off as receive. I'll let that dawn on you for a while. So when you look at root words, how did this word come into being? The word N-U-N, none, came into being. It was about receiving. Religion has done this to us. You give to get, but God says it works like this. In giving, you are receiving. One thing. So if I just say, I want to just go pick up my phone. I stretch, I take. So what do I want? I want the phone. So in one motion, I take. So we've always been going, oh, come on, you got to give. It's going to hurt. And God says, how do I receive from you? I give. Watch this. How do you receive healing? You give faith. Okay, watch this. Jesus is walking down the street. And he's probably going, this will be the best day of my life. And he's there, and a woman comes back and behind him and says, I'm going to touch him. But when she reached to touch him, she received healing. Jesus said, as many of them that touched me got healed. It doesn't say as many of them as served him, and as a reward, he gave something to them. See, what we've been taught is that in giving, I receive. Go back to a relationship. If I want something from Sylvie, I give. And it's in the act of giving that I receive. See, what we think is this. I'm going to give Sylvie a compliment and then wait to germinate. And then one day she'll give me a compliment. How many of you know people that will give you a compliment because they want a compliment back from you? Oh, you are so holy. I love my church. There's not. See, you know, it is like, if I want that, what will I give? But the Bible says, in the act of giving, I receive. So watch this. In the act of praying, I receive the answer. Seek and you shall. Knock and it shall be. So what's God saying? In the act of knocking, the door gets opened. In the act of asking, I receive. That's why you can have expectation. You okay? Can I just say this? I will say this because I am your pastor. When I first read this, it absolutely irritated me because I felt all the wasted years. Because you know what? I am giving, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And when you get into the reality that I am not operating outside of the kingdom, I am operating inside the kingdom. Outside of the kingdom, sacrifice heard. Inside the kingdom, it brings healing. So when you want something, you give. See, that is why when we come to worship, the reason we worship is so you can receive. See, you're not coming into an auditorium to an empty God that says, fill me up. God says, Ted, do you want something? This is how you touch me. This is how you touch me. You're not working for it. You are receiving it. That's what's called grace. Let me give you a download on this. Outside of the kingdom, okay, the Old Testament, when the law was given, it says, if you wanted to touch God, you had to do everything. And then you could touch God. That was meant to irritate you so that you can get into the kingdom. And then grace says this. In the Old Testament, it was everything or nothing. You had to fulfill not just one commandment. You had to fulfill about 616. It was everything. Now that you step into the kingdom, it works in the same measure. God says, you cannot bring any mixture from that to this. So you cannot come into my presence and then sacrifice with a mindset, I'm waiting for you, I'm waiting for you. I don't know if I'm making myself clear. To receive from God under the old covenant, you had to fulfill every commandment. It was one or all, one or none. And the word of God says it this way, if you break one law, you are guilty of them all. So you had this concept that you had to do everything to receive. There was no mixture. There wasn't a bit of grace and a bit of this. But now when you step into the kingdom of God that the law has introduced you to, and it says it works the same way. It's everything freely given. The other way is I had to earn. Inside, God says, it's already given to you. Now watch this. The Bible says the kingdom of God is where? In you. So God is saying this. Now just watch this. If you come into my house and I baptize you a Fabianic, okay? So you come into my house, I take you up into the spa, in the name of Ted and Sylve, I baptize you a Fabianic. From then on, you come into my house and you don't have to ask for anything. That means you walk in, you open the fridge, you take what's in the fridge. That's how the kingdom, this is how, so what happens is, I want something. I stretch my hand and I take because it belongs to me. See, the act of giving is this, is you're not taking something that doesn't belong to you. You're taking something that belongs to you. See, we don't do this in this church. Does God want to heal you? They go, no, there's healing with your name on it. You reach out and you take it. I don't feel close to God. I sacrifice and I take it. Because God hasn't moved, I have. Can I just... You don't need permission to take any of the promises of God. That is the joy that we have, is that in giving, I receive. In giving, I receive. So what happens here is I am not giving to get because I already have, but I'm bringing myself into the reality when I am giving worship. I am feeling close to God. It is my feelings finally getting it. I am close to God. That is the truth. Anything else becomes a lie. You good? Worship team, come up. As the worship team runs to the front, speedily increasing in momentum, we're going to do a lot more on this because this needs to drop from here to here. We need to just get into such a love relationship with the Father where God says, I invited you to the table. Now, understand, this is when you study the way they would preach sacrifice in history of the word, is they never believed that we sacrifice to draw God back to us. It was in our sacrifice, I draw near to Him. The first sacrifice finished it, because when Adam and Eve sinned, Adam and Eve didn't do this. Gee, how do we get close? How do we get back to God? Eve, what do you reckon? I wouldn't have a clue. First thing, no apples. No eating, no more eating. Right? No more snake touching either. We don't do snakes anymore. Okay. Let's bring God something. Come on, let's. But what are we going to give that hasn't already been given to us? What do we give that really, really belongs to us? Nothing. So what does God say? He's Adam and Eve are here, and God gets up and He goes, you know what? I'm going to draw near to you. So He comes to Adam and Eve and says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the blood of innocence and I'm going to sacrifice for you. So now you always know where I am. I'm next to you. So anytime you see the blood, God's here. Think about communion. Every time we do communion, He's here. So God made these things, and this is what God didn't do. He didn't say, here's a sacrifice, I'm going back. And anytime you want to come back, you need to do that to come to me. God saying, no, this. The reason you sacrifice is that you realize, I'm drawing near to God. Hey, Eve, I'm feeling far away from God. But God hasn't changed. I'm going to sacrifice. David says, man, I got this problem. I've got this problem. I've got this problem. What am I going to do? I'm forgetting that He's near me. So I give you my sacrifice of praise. That is why what made David so famous is that he figured out the secret. The secret is God never leaves, but I think He has. And I bring my mind and my heart into an act of transformation is when I sacrifice. See, what happens is this. My body and my mind and my soul go into transformation. As I am sacrificing, I'm getting a download. He's right here. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. You know what? I was reading this book, and it was all about people that had sacrificed their lives to God. The question was, why are all these Christians in the middle of a stadium being chewed alive by animals, and they're singing and they're happy? They couldn't figure it out. And then finally, they saw this woman with a baby, and some of them said, listen, if you deny Jesus, you and your baby can live. And she goes, nah, I'm not going to do that. But he goes, those lions are about to be released. They go, yeah. And you know what the crowd did in the middle? They started to worship. As the animals were attacking them, they were in the essence of worship. And you know what the Romans did? They go, we can't, this has to stop. We cannot divide these people from God. The moment they start worshiping, all of these problems are coming, but they're feeling good about it. That is the power of sacrifice. I'm sitting there thinking that there's this mother with a child. Lions are coming and she's worshiping. Lions are ripping at her legs. She's still worshiping. Why? Because when you get into the reality, He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Though I go through the waters, hey, I'm going to be okay. This week, from this time on, we are not giving to get. We are giving to receive. I'm receiving. Right now, you need healing. I'm going to take it. I need a breakthrough. I'm going to take it. I feel away from God. I'm going to take it. Come on, why don't we stand? Come on. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I lift my hands in sacrifice to you. Father, I'm going to light the fragrant candle in my prayer. Father, you have never left me. But Father, my emotions, my troubles, the pressure is all making me feel I'm far away. So Father, right now, I give you a sacrifice because I want to receive. God, this is you. You want us to receive. So Father, right now, I receive. I give and I take. Father, I right now, I just need some peace over this situation. Father, I bless you. I reach out my hand and I take the peace and I let it loose in my situation. Father God, right now with my body, Father, the part that needs healing, Father, I'm going to reach out and touch you by faith. And when I touch you, I'm receiving my healing. Father, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Father, I worship you and my whole family will come into faith. Father, with my situation at work, I worship you and I receive the answer to that situation. Father, we want to go back to the kingdom. Kingdom living, kingdom thinking, kingdom enjoying. And so, Father, right now, we give this to you. We give this to you. Just right now, start to bring your petition. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Father, right now, Father, we just pray for our whole church. Father, we pray for Faith Life Church. Father, every marriage in this church. Father, we just pray for every marriage. Father, we worship you for the sanctity of marriage. We worship you because of relationship, Father. We worship you, Father. Father, we give. Father, we pray that you would intervene in every marriage in this house. That you would bring people together. Father, we pray for every relationship. That, Father, we receive restoration. We receive healing. We receive abundance of forgiveness. Father, right now, Father, I pray that from this time forward, we will live in a constant state of worship. Father, we're living under grace. And when you live under grace, everything that He has done for you is freely given. No more striving. I really feel this for quite a few people here this morning. Stop striving. Stop striving and start receiving. Stop striving. Stop trying to get God to like you. He likes you and He loves you. See, worship is not drawing God to you. It's drawing you to God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will not ever let my grip loose up on you. So, Father, right now, I bless you. Father, I bless you today with health. But God said, this is the way I want you to bless people. I put God's name upon you, which is above every other name. I put the name of Jesus over you. I put it over your health. I pray that right now that every cell in your body will start to respond to the forgiveness and the power and the life of Jesus. I bless you with health. I bless you with peace. I bless you with enlightenment. I bless you with transformation. Let everything be blessed. You'll be blessed when you sit and when you stand. You'll be blessed when you go, when you come back. Blessed are going to be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your hands. Blessed shall be your finances. Blessed shall be your investments. Blessed shall be your friendships. I bless you that this week you will have divine opportunities that you never thought possible. I bless you with divine connections that will take you to the next level. I bless you. In Jesus' name. I just wonder just right now that in them just for about 30 seconds that we just start to praise God. Any which way that you want, but just as the worship just starts to play, let us just give thanks unto our God. Father, I thank you right now. Father, we honor you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, praise. Praise the power of Jesus.